Okay, good morning, everybody. Welcome back to our Thursday morning shiur at the Young Israel of Woodmere. I hope everyone had a meaningful Tishrei and uplifting Yom Tov season. I want to personally apologize to anyone who came last week. I had no idea before Yom Tov that we weren't starting last week. I usually don't start right after, but the week after, and I was only notified around the same time you were. So I'm really sorry. I apologize. You still got Schar Halicha. Well, there was no Schar Asiya. I'm sorry if it was Matriach, anybody. So Baruch Hashem, we're back. So let us begin our learning. First of all, I must thank my dear friend and learning partner. For a number of years, we've been learning together, Rosalind Bramson, who is sponsoring today's Shiur, the Zecher Nishmas, her father, whose Yahrzeit is actually today, 8 Cheshvan. So this Shiur should be a Zechira and Aliyah Neshama to Nechamia Ben Yisrael Pesach, Alav Shalom, Nathan Eindelman, the father of Rosalind Branson. Rosalind, we've been learning for a few years already together, Baruch Hashem. And it's a pleasure and honor to sponsor that you sponsored this year in memory of your fathers, Neshama Shad Havan Aliyah, and the Zchus of the Torah that we will share today together. So let us begin. If you look on your handout, as I mentioned, there's a handout, you do need it. Let us begin in the very first pasuk of the Chumash. Hey, the very first pasuk in the Chumash tells us, Bereishis bar Elokim, Esa Shemayim v'Esa Aretz. In the beginning, Elokim created the heavens and the earth. V'Aretz ha'isa sohu v'vohu, v'choshach al p'nei tohom, v'ruach Elokim merachafes al p'nei hamayim. And this is the introduction to the Torah, and the first thing Hashem created is light. He saw the light that it was good. So let us look at the very first Rashi to the Chamisha Chumshei Torah. It is quite a famous Rashi, and I'm sure that like me, many of you are very familiar with this teaching of Rashi. It is on your hand, okay? I'm on the top of page 1. Oh, actually, I'm going to screen share for all of you. One moment. Okay, could you see? I can't see anyone. Someone who's not hiding behind their camera. Paul Spoto, could you see Bereishis 1:1? Okay, so if you look on my hand, you see the screen, or you have it in front of you. Bereishis bar Elokim Esa Shemayim v'Esa Aretz. So I don't know if there's enough handouts. She asked me how many to make. She said 100. I said 100. That was before COVID. I said now people know the conveniences of Zoom, but I may not have made enough. So either someone could go ask her to make a few more, please, or do you mind? I feel so bad. Or you could sit next to somebody who has one. Two options, okay? Bereishis, so this is an extremely famous Rashi, and I'm sure, like me, you are very familiar with this Rashi. Amar Rabbi Yitzchak, first Rashi, what does Rashi want you to know as you open up and begin your journey through the Chamisha Chumshei Torah? What's the most important thing you have to know? That there is a God, that he created the world. What's the most important thing you need to know? Amar Rabbi Yitzchak, Rabbi Yitzchak teaches, Lo hayat tzarich lahascha aso Torah, alamei achodesh azalachem. Really, the Torah should have started from the mitzvah in Parshas Bo, Perek Yud Bey, if the Torah is a blueprint of how we live our lives. It's not a storybook, it's not a fairy tale, it's not Mother Goose and Grimm. It's to tell us how to live our lives as Jews. We have 613 Deoraisa, and then we, I would say, not hundreds, probably thousands of Derabbanan that are all based on those 613. So why do we need stories? What are we starting by Bereishis? You should have started by the mitzvah of Rosh Chodesh. That's the first command to Klal Yisrael. Umatam pasach b'Bereishis. What was the purpose of starting by Bereishis, which is creation and the story of the patriarchs? I mean, it's very nice, it's very interesting, but there's no mitzvos here. Mishum koach ma'asov he gid the amo, because the strength of his work, the strength of his deed, he told to his nation, laseis lohem nachos goyim, to give them an inheritance amongst the nations, she'im yomru u'mos ha'olam, that if the nations of the world say, li Yisrael tu kaisel listim atem, you are thieves, you are robbers, you're a highway robbery, she'kevashtem arzo shiva goyim, you know, you came here and you captured the land of the seven Canaanite nations, you're stealers, you're robbers, you're occupiers, your settlers. So Klal Yisrael could say, well, you know, the whole land belongs to the Ribono Shel Olam, who the Ra'ah, he created the world, because it says in Sefer Bereishis, Perek Aleph, that God created the world. Therefore, it says, he gives it to whoever it's right in his eyes to give it to. Birtzono Nasna Lahem, with his will, he gave it to them. Uvirtzono Nasna Mehem, Unisana Lanu, and by his will, he took it away from them, and he gave it to us. So the first thing apparently that we have to know as we begin our journey through Chamisha Chum Shei Torah, and a new cycle of learning is to teach us that Klal Yisrael have a land that is theirs. It belongs to Ribono Shel Olam. He gives it to who he wants, and we have an Eretz Yisrael. I was listening to Shir Bar Rabbi Zev left the other week, where he said, you know, did the Israeli ambassador to the UN ever stand up as the UN General Assembly met? And did the Israeli ambassador say, oh, you know, Bereishis Bar Elokim, Esa Shemayim V'Esa Arts? And did all the other nations at the UN say, wow, why didn't you ever mention that before? I'm quoting Rabbi Zev. We never knew this. Rashi says he gave it to who he wants, so it's really yours. Okay, the UN will now absolve itself because they apparently have nothing else to do except to criticize Israel, and everyone will live in peace, and they'll give the land to Bnei Yisrael, we'll have Medina Yisrael. Wonderful, all the problems will be solved. So Rabbi Zev said, no, obviously that never happened. Oh, why didn't you mention that before? All the other members of the United Nations will say, no, that didn't happen. So Rabbi Zev left pointed out that it's extremely important, and I bolded it for you on your hand, oh, koach ma'asav higidla amo. So Rabbi Zev Lev said, that's the answer. Higidla amo. Doesn't say koach ma'asav higidla umos ha'olam. It doesn't say koach ma'asav higidla United Nations. It doesn't say koach ma'asav higidla Palestinians. It says koach ma'asav higidla amo. And that's the key. It is for us to know that Eretz Yisrael is our land. God created the whole world. Bereishis Bara Elokim, Esa Shemayim V'Esa Aretz. He gave it to who he wants. He took it from them and he gave it to us when he wanted to do so. So it's Koach Masav Higidamo. We need to know, and these are key words in Rashi, said Rabbi Yef, because it's for us to know. Rashi here is quoting a pasuk from Tehillim. But it's for us to know that the land is ours. So you see that as soon as you open up the Chumash, the first thing you have to, Emunah and Hashem, eventually you're going to keep Shabbos. Rabbi Yitzchak says, start with the Chodesh HaZalachem. That's the first thing you have to know as you open up the Chamisha Chum Shei Torah. There's a land called Eretz Yisrael, and you have to know, Higid Amo, that it is our land. So the whole Chamisha Chum Shei Torah, which you don't learn Chumash without Rashi, the Darshan of Torah Shabbat Peh par excellence on Chumash begins by a lesson with the Chashivus and Ahavas Eretz Yisrael. Don't worry about convincing the Palestinians. We're never going to be able to convince them. Albias Kol Tzedek. Worry about, focus on you appreciating the gift of the land of Eretz Yisrael. And that's in Parshas Bereishis, and that's how Rashi begins his entire commentary, Eretz Yisrael. And now we move to Parshas Noach, which of course was last week's Parsha, and that's the second source on your handout, Bereishis Perches, Pasuk Gidalov. So you know the basic story of the flood of Noach, even though there's so much to talk about, but the pshat is that the people were very bad, and the earth was filled with robbery before Hashem. And Hashem comes to Noach, Kates called Basar Balafane, Kimala Arts Chamas Mipneim, Vihinini Mashchisem, Esar, thank you so much. I'm sorry you missed. Tizki Mitzvah. We spoke about the first Rashi in Bereishis, which teaches us about the importance of Eretz Yisrael. Okay, we're in the second source on the handout. So I'm just giving a recap of Parshas Noach. So Hashem tells Noach to make a teva, v'atzeh gofer, kinim taso, so it's for him and Naama, Shem, Cham, and Yafis and their wives, two of each kosher animal, seven of each kosher animal, and three floors, people, animals, garbage, waste, refuse, and they're going to be in the teva, and their world is going to start all over again from Noach and his family and the animals that he takes into the ark. How is Noach going to know when the flood is over? When could I get out of this ark? So it rained for 40 days and 40 nights, but the water stayed on the earth for much longer than that, and he's in the ark for, today is 8 Cheshvan, 17 Cheshvan is when the Amabel began, according to one opinion, and how's he going to know when to come out? He's in there for such a long time. So first he sends an orev, he sends a raven, haloch v'shav, it's flying around. There is no dry land. He takes the raven back. The next bird that he sends out is the Yonah. So first the Yonah goes and there's no dry land. And then he sends the Yonah again. And parachas pasuk gid aleph, that is on your handout. You see it on the screen as well. Okay. Vatavo elav hayona le'et arav, and the Yonah comes back to him towards evening. Vihine ale zayit taraf befiha. So she has a branch from an olive tree torn in her mouth. Vayeda Noach ki kalu hamayim me'al ha'aretz. Oh, this is the sign. We're going to be able to go. Even though he doesn't leave till God tells him to leave the ark, now he knows that the water is lessening from the earth and they are going to be able to go out again. So Rashi says, very interesting, Rashi, what is the symbolism of an alei zayit? Olives are bitter. You either love them or, I don't want to say hate them, they're one of the shivat haminim, but you either love them or they're not your taste. I happen to like them, but maybe you don't, but they're very important. Also, olive oil is very important for many mitzvos in Yehada, Shem and HaMishcha, Ner Chanukah. So, but it's a bitter, why didn't she come back with something sweet? Like, I don't know, a leaf from a palm tree, you know, dates, that's very sweet. What did you say? An orange? I don't know, I was trying to think of a different Shiva Manim that was sweet. So grapes or figs or a Jaffa orange. Why did she come back with an alei zayit? So why? So first of all, it was plucked, chataf, but then umidrash agadja lashon mazon. It was food. V'darshu b'fia lashon ma'amar. Okay, what did she say? V'darshu b'fia lashon ma'amar. Why does it mean alei zayit b'fiha in her mouth? She was saying something. There was a message. It's not just like, how else would the bird come back with it? Obviously, it was b'fiha. Why do you, that's how they carry things. If you've ever seen birds making, or picking up a worm, or picking up sticks to go make a nest, so they use their mouth. So what do you learn from the fact that it was being carried in her mouth? Lashon ma'amar, it was like a statement. The bird is saying something. Arma, she was saying, Yihiyu mazonosai mirorin kizayit, b'yado shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu, v'lo mitukin kidvash b'yidei basar v'dam. This whole year she's being sustained by Noach in the Teva. So she said, it's preferable that my food should be bitter like a zayit, but come from God, better than it should be sweet and given it to me for free from Basar Vadam. And it teaches us that Lo Ayidei Manas Basar Vadam. We ask Hashem to that He should sustain us. We shouldn't be dependent on other people for our sustenance. We shouldn't need tzedakah the whole year. The owner's getting tzedakah, right? The whole year she's getting sustenance from somebody in the community because she doesn't have on her own. So she's saying, I'd rather fly around and eat bitter food like an olive than have sustenance from you and be on the receiving end of charity. So that's also a very beautiful Rashi, and it teaches us we should ask the Ribbono Shel as well. Lo Ayidei Manas. We don't want to be sustained by a gift from our flesh and blood. However, let's look at the Rabbeinu Bachya on the Chumash, and he says something just beautiful. He quotes a medrash. You see there are footnotes on your handout. Here I'm up to you, the Rabbeinu Bachya, but if you see there's a medrash. So he begins by quoting Medrash Bereishis Rabbah. Okay? You see it on the, I gave you the source on the bottom of the sheet. Parasha Lamed Gimel Siman Vav. So what is Medrash Bereishis Rabbah? And the part that's quoted in bold is the Lashon of the Medrash. And I was preparing this year, not only did I look at Rabbeinu Bachya and the Miklos Kedos, but I took on my Medrash Bereishis Rabbah to see if the Lashon was the same. And this in bold is a quote from the Medrash. Okay? Amar ben Midrasha, Rabbi Levi Amar, Mehar HaMishcha Hevia Oso. Where was this alei zayit from? Har HaZeisim. Where was the alei zayit from? From the mount of anointing, she brought the olive branch. Delo tafat ara de eretz Yisrael b'mei de mabula. Because the land of Israel was not inundated by the waters of the flood. I gave you the definition of tafat, which is inundated. Delo tafat ara de eretz Yisrael. B'maya de Mabula, you should understand that even though it's Aramaic, the land of Eretz Yisrael was not inundated by flood waters. Shakach Amar Chodesh Baruch Hu Yecheskel, it's in bold because this is still the Medrash. Hashem said to Yecheskel, and I gave you the translation of the pasuk on the bottom of your handout. Ben Adam Amar La et Eretz Lo Mitahara Hi Velo Gishama Biyom Zaam. Son of man, say to the land, so to speak. God said to Yechezkel to say to the land of Israel, so to speak, you are a land that has not been cleansed. Eretz lo mitaharahi. She is a land that has not been cleansed. V'lo gashama b'yom zam. And on the day of wrath, she was not rained upon. So where does the Chazal learn out in the Medrash that where did this come from? Well, you read it's alei zayit. So we read Rashi. It's an alei zayit. So zayit, what does that bring to mind? Well, there's a mountain right next to Har HaMoriah called Har HaZeitim, the Mount of Olives, and that is where the Medrash says this alei zayit came from. Now let's look at the commentary of Rabbeinu Bachya. Continue. Okay, so that's the end of the Medrash. He till now quoted the Medrash. So why am I bringing this to you after we did Rashi to Bereishis 1:1? Because in Bereishis 1:1, Rashi wants to teach you the chashivus of Eretz Yisrael. Now we come to Parshas Noach, and Parshas Noach doesn't seem to have anything to do with this theme of Eretz Yisrael, except that it does, because the symbolism that the waters were receding and there was plant life again and the world was rejuvenating came from none other than Eretz Yisrael. And not only that, but the Medrash says that Eretz Yisrael was not inundated by the waters of the flood at the time of the Noach, at the time of the Mabul in the days of Noach. So Narbin Abacha says, Lo mitahara, she wasn't cleansed. Perush, shalom nipu mayonos tohom. The springs of the depths did not open up and rush up to Eretz Yisrael. So the water from low in the depths, the ground did not open up, and inundate Eretz Yisrael from below. Not only that, below Gushma, Shalo Yarad Allah, Matar Min HaShemayim, Migeshem HaMabal. So Eretz Yisrael was spared. The deep waters did not rise, and the heavenly waters did not fall to inundate her at the time of the flood. So it was not rained upon her from Shemayim, from the waters of the flood. Because we know by the Mabal, they came from the depths, and they came from the heavens. So it was like a double whammy for the earth. It was coming from below and from above, till everything was totally washed away, including the top layer of topsoil. The earth itself was destroyed, not only all the inhabitants of the earth, except that Eretz Yisrael was spared destruction. Aval, interesting, Rabbeinu Bacha says, Aval bivadai meha mabul shebishar artzos nichnesu letocha. Very, very interesting, and it's a beautiful and actually rational pshah, and he says, but certainly, waters from other lands, the flood waters from the other lands, did enter into Eretz Yisrael. So it wasn't like when they got to the border of Eretz Yisrael, all those flood waters said, oh, here's Eretz Yisrael, we're going to stop. We're not going to go in. They seeped into the land from other lands, but the depths underground, the Holy Land, did not open up, and the heavens above the Holy Land did not open up. So God's wrath was not upon the land, even though they came in from other lands. And he says, Bivadai, Meha Mabul Shebishar Arzo Nichnesu Letocha. Certainly, the waters of the flood from the other lands did enter into Eretz Yisrael. Shahareha Kasuv Meir Bakan, because the Torah proves that. Vayichasu Kol HaHarim HaGvoim Asher Tachas Kol HaShamayim. Because the Pasuk says, in regard to the flood, the Pasuk testifies, and the flood waters covered all the high mountains that are under the entire heavens. So, Rebbe Bach is teaching you that the flood waters did reach Eretz Yisrael. But Eretz Yisrael herself, her depths did not open to inundate from below to above, and the heavens above the land did not rain down. It seeped in from other lands. So how did, now he's going to answer without stating his kasha, so how did the Yonah find an olive branch if the floodwaters did reach Eretz Yisrael, just not from the depths or above? So therefore, he's going to explain. Because this destructive water did not fall from the heavens upon Eretz Yisrael, the rain was so heavy when it fell from the heavens, it smashed all the trees. It was like a terrible storm. Maybe there were hurricane force winds. I don't know. I never saw that anywhere. I'm just using it for illustrative purposes. Rabbeinu Bacha is saying here that the rain was so strong, it smashed the trees as well. Lekach lo ne'aku ha'ilano misham mipnei ha'mayim haba'im sham mishar arzo. So the water that seeped in was gentle. It wasn't boiling from below. It wasn't pouring from above. It was seeping in from the other lands, but it wasn't destructive water. And therefore the trees in Eretz Yisrael were not uprooted and washed away like they were in all the other lands. That's what he just said. Therefore the trees in Eretz Yisrael were not uprooted from the water that came in. For the water came from the north, and it came from the east, and it came from the south. However, it did not wash away the trees, because it seeped in more gently. It wasn't a strong rain that was smashing the trees. And that is where the Yonah found a viable living tree from Har Hazesim, and that is where she took the Alei Zayit from. And then Noach knew that the water had subsided. So I thought that this is a tremendously very beautiful medrash that teaches us once again the chashivus and distinction and chavivus of the beloved land of the Ribono Shel Olam. That the whole world was inundated with the flood and everything was washed away and destroyed. But now we also understand what the medrash means, according to Beinu Bache, that the floodwaters did not reach Eretz Yisrael. They did reach Eretz Yisrael from other lands, but they were not direct from the wrath of God, from above and from below. The Ma'ayanot Tohom did not open, the Geshem did not fall, and some of it seeped in, but it wasn't destructive. And so once the water started to recede, the Alei Zayit, the Zeitim trees on Har HaZeitim were there and viable, and that is where the Yonah was able to find a leaf from. Very, very beautiful. Moving on. Let me just see where I'm up to. Okay. I'm going to stop screen sharing for a few minutes. So I was voracious. Ahavas Eretz Yisrael, Chashivas Eretz Yisrael, Higid La'amo. Now we see in Parshas Noach that the Medrash does teach us how beloved Eretz Yisrael is, and the sign of life came from Har HaZeitim itself. And now we come to this week's Parsha, and this week's Parsha is Parshas Lech Lecha. And what is the first command that God gives to Avram? Well, he's not yet Avram Avidu, he is Avram. They are living in Haran, they used to be in Ur Kasdim, the end of Perek Yud Aleph, Parshas Noach, and his father Terach begins a journey to Canaan, but for whatever reason that the Torah does not tell us, he is not successful in completing the journey, and they are in Haran. Perek Yud Beis, Pasuk Aleph. Vayom Hashem el Avram, God said to Avram, Lechecha me'arzecha mimoedetcha mi'beis avicha ala eretz asher eka. And God said to Abram, go to yourself and leave your land and your birthplace and your father's house and journey to the land that I will show you, and there I will make you into a great nation, and I will bless you, I will make your name great, and you will be for a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, curse those who curse you. All the families of the earth will be blessed for you. And what does Avram do? What's the first communication of God to Avram? If you want to be the father of the Ume Yisraelis, your place is not here in Chutzlarts. It might be nice in Ur Kasdim. I don't know how nice, they threw him into the fiery furnace, but he survived. It might be nice in Haran, but this is not your place. Vayelech Avram kasher diber elav Hashem. No questions. This is the first Nisayon in the Torah text. Of course, Chazal tells us in Pirkei Avos, the beginning of Perek Hey, that our forefather Abraham was tested with 10 tests and he withstood them all. This in the Torah text is the first Nisayon. Most commentators say that Kivshon HaEish is the first Nisayon, but that's not in the Torah text. That's brought down by Rashi to Bereishis Perek Yud Aleph Pasuk Chav Ches. But the first test in the Torah text is going to Eretz Yisrael. So not only was Avram the first Jew, he was the first Jew to make Aliyah. Vayelech Avram kasher diber elav Hashem pasuk dal, and Avram went like God spoke to him, and he took Lo, whose Lo, Lo is an orphan nephew, after Avram comes out alive from the fiery furnace. Haran says, wow, that's so cool, I'm with Avram. They throw him into the fiery furnace, he doesn't make it. This is all in Rashi to Perek Yud Aleph Pasuk Chav Ches. And so Avram adopts Lo, and Avram was 75 years old when he left Haran. Vayikach Avram is Sarai Ishto. Avram takes Sarai, his wife, as Lo ben Achiv, and he takes Lo, the son of his brother, and all their possessions that they possessed, and the souls that they made in Haran. Vayetu lelachas Arza Canaan. They go, they depart to go to the land of Canaan. Vayavo Arza Canaan. So unlike his father, who gets stuck and who is not able to continue for whatever reason that the Torah does not tell us, Avram completes the journey. He arrives in the land of Canaan. Vayavar Avram Ba'aretz, first place that he goes, Ad Makom Shechem. The first place that Avram goes is to Shechem, to Elone Moreh, the Canaanites from the end of the land. And what is the first communication with God in the land? So when God told him to leave, he wasn't yet in Eretz Yisrael, which was called Eretz Canaan. He was in Haran, he was in Chutzatz. What's the first thing Hashem tells him? Pasuk Zayin, Vayera Hashem El Avram, Vayomer. What's the first thing God says to him? I'm God, you're right, who discovered me when you were 3 or when you were 40 or when you were 43 and the whole world is wrong and Yasher Koach and it's good you threw into the fiery furnace to sanctify my name and I'm going to be with you. What's the first thing Hashem says? L'zar'echa eitein et ha'aretz hazot. The first communication of God to Aram in Eretz Yisrael is Koach ma'asav higid la'amo la'tei la'hamnacha goyim. The first thing Hashem says to him in Eretz Yisrael is, this is the land I will give to your seed. Vayiven shem mizbeach, and Avram built there a mizbeach, l'Hashem hanira elav. And then he goes from there to the east, base out. What's the first thing Hashem tells him in Eretz Yisrael? It's your land, and this land, nothing even happened yet. He just got there. He only went to Shechem. There's no events, there's no time to go yet to our Maria and Davin, there's no amazing dreams or nevuas. Hashem comes to him and he says, in Eretz Yisrael, this is your land. So how does Rashi begin his whole commentary to Chamisha Chamshei Torah? You should know about the importance of Eretz Yisrael. How does Noach know that the world is now rejuvenating? The world is alive. There is life. In the midst of terrible destruction, there's one sign of hope. What is the sign of hope? Alei Zayit, Tarof Befiha. What is it from? You know, when you go to Torah, you bring something back that I have next to my lachter, the last time we were there was summer 2019. We were supposed to be there. Everything was booked. All the tours were made. Hashem had other plans. Pesach 2020. So, I don't know. My daughter's there now, Baruch Hashem. My husband keeps saying we're going in January. I'm like, honey, I don't know if we're going in January. It's not open. So we did jeeping in Midbar Yehuda. It was so amazing. First of all, I'm like a scaredy cat. Like I was like not looking / davening. It was very, very scary / nerve-wracking. But when the jeep stopped and you got out, it was so marbu masach Hashem kulam b'chach masisa malarz kinanecha. And we went into this like one cave and he showed us like these rocks that have like petrol. If you rub them, you could smell the petrol. So we brought two, I don't know, can I be like, is this, should I not be saying this on Wayu Torah? I brought back two little rocks are next to my lachter and they just sit there. It was, you know, it wasn't an antiquity site. It was like a chas v'shalom. It was a cave in Midbar Yehuda. It was just some rocks. So they're saying, I'm sure I'm not the only person in this room who once brought something back from Eretz Yisrael, okay? So the point is, how does he know that there's rejuvenation? How does he know the world's going to be okay? How does he know there's life? Because there's a piece of Eretz Yisrael brought back to him. That's the first thing God says to Abram when he's in the land. The first thing, it's your land. So your progeny, I'll give us that. Oh, then there's going to be a war. Then there's going to be bris milah b'sharim. Then there's going to be bris milah. Then there's going to be trouble with Hagar. But what's the first thing you need to know? Eretz Yisrael is yours. You can't help but notice there's a theme here. And that is, like the Pasuk tells us in Devarim, Perikid Aleph, Eretz Asher Hashem Elkecha Doresh Osa, Tamid Einei Hashem Elkecha Bayud Aleph Yud Beis. It's amazing, even in Parshas that don't seem, okay, Lech Lecha is obviously about Eretz Yisrael. Parshas doesn't seem to have too much to do with Eretz Yisrael, so Rashi says, wait, I have to tell you something. Noach for sure doesn't seem to have too much to do with Eretz Yisrael, but the whole way that Noach knew, Vayeda Noach ki kalu amayim, the whole way he knew that the world was going to be okay was because next is Lachter, he had rocks from Eretz Yisrael. And the Yonah brings on Ali Zayit back. I also think that it's so interesting, going back to my screen share, where are we? Sunday is also, can you see my screen? Paul, you're the only one I could see right now. Yeah, okay. Sunday is Yud Aleph Cheshvan. What's Yud Aleph Cheshvan? Oh, the Yurtzeit of Rachel Imenu. So the Pesukim talks in Perek Lamed Hey, Abereshus. It's not in your handout, it's in the Chumash. I'm just going to read it to you. Trying to open it. Parak Lamed Hey of Bereshis. This coming Sunday is the Yurtzeit of Rachel, our foremother. Or in Parak Lamed Hey, if you're interested in looking inside with me, it's Parak Lamed Hey Pasuk Tad Zayin. In this Chumash, it's page 188 to make it easy. Or you could just listen. Okay? Vayisu mi Beit El, so it's 20 years he worked by Lavan. and he has his four wives, and he has his almost all the 12 tribes. Benjamin's about to be born, and Dinah, and 6 years for the flocks, and he's going home. They've already met Esav, he didn't kill him, he escaped, everything's okay. They're almost by Ephrat. She goes into labor. She's having, it's kasher. She's starting to have some difficulty. We take for granted, I think, today very, very much that Baruch Hashem, the vast majority of women who are Baruch Hashem expecting, go into the hospital and come out healthy. And it didn't, of course, used to be like that until modern medicine at all. Vayi b'hak shosa b'lidata was when she was struggling while she's giving birth. Vatomer l'hamiyaledet, the midwife says, you know, they're on some road, Beit El, a front, journeying caravan. Al tiri, do not be afraid. Ki gamza lach ben, you're about to have a boy. She only has Yosef. And what does she say when she has Yosef? What does she say? Not hapam odes Hashem. What does she say? Yosef Hashem li ben acher, asaf Hashem escher pasi. Thanks so much for taking away my shame. I want more. The midwife says to her, you're about to have another one. Vayihi b'tzei nafsha kimeta. Her soul is departed, and she's about to die. And right before she dies, she names the child Ben Oni, the son of my pain. Now, what kind of name is that for a child to grow up with? Va'aviv Karalo Binyamin, the son of my right hand, which means like my strength. Va'tamat Rachel, Shitaka died. Va'tikaver, Yosef was about 8 or 9 years old. She leaves Yosef and Binyamin. She gave up her place to be the first wife, so that Leah would not be embarrassed. She was a true vatran, vatranus, vatamat Rachel, vatikaver b'derech Ephrasa, hi beis lachem. If anybody that me remembers what Kever Rachel used to look like, just on Shabbos, one of my kids brought up some albums from the basement, like my old albums, and they found an album from when me and my husband went to Eretz Yisrael the summer we got married at the end of May. We went that August, so I'm going back quite a number of years ago. And then my son said, that's what Kever Rachel used to look like. So even 25 years ago, it did not, you couldn't recognize it because we were there in the summer of 2019. It's a total military fortress. I remember when I was a kid, it used to look even different than 25 years ago. I mean, there was just the arch, the sign, there was two soldiers sitting there. You walked up across the street with Arab shops. I could see it in my mind's eye. You went into Kever Rachel, she died. Vayetzu of Yaakov Matzeva al Kruata, and Yaakov establishes a monument over her grave. He Matzeva Kruat Rachel ad hayam. And this is the Matzeva of Kever Rachel until today. Yod Alev Chashmon is the yurtzeit of Rachel Imeinu. The psukim say in your Miyahu, that's on your handout. I'm towards the top of page 2. Top of page 1 on your handout was the first communication. This handout has Shemos. You are more than welcome to keep with your parsha notes, but if you do take it home, please be aware it has Shemos. You need to be careful. If you want to take it home and bring it back next week, there's a Shemos box here. Just please do not discard of it inappropriately. So the Pesukim tell us in your Miyahu, Parakulam et Aleph, Ko Amar Hashem, and I'm sure you know this Nevuah, this promise of by heart, Ko Amar Hashem, Ko Birama Nishma. So says God, a voice is heard on the heights, Ramah, Rome. Nihi bechitam rumim, lamentation and bitter weeping. Rachel mevaka al baneha. Rachel cries over her children. Me'ana lihinachem al baneha ki einenu. She refuses to be comforted over her children, for they are no longer. I'm sure you saw, like I did, that the Mossad just tried to undergo. It was unsuccessful operation to find the whereabouts or the remains of Ron Arad, who's been missing from the early 1980s. Naftali Bennett announced it either last week or the week before. Ultimately, ki einenu, he is still not returned, and Rachel is crying. Ko Amar Hashem, so Hashem promises Rachel, Mini kolich mi bechi. What is the nechama he gives her? Does he say the Beis HaMikdash is going to be rebuilt? Does he say Am Yisrael Chai? Does he say don't worry? What's the promise he gives her? We're going to come back to Eretz Yisrael. That's the promise. And God says, hold your voice back from crying, ve'inayich midima, your eyes from tears, ki yesh sechar lepulatech nu Hashem. There is reward. There is a reward for your work, swears God. V'shavu me'eretz oyev. When I was there in summer 2019, I've told you this before, I stood at the grave of Zechariah Balmo. He had just been returned a few months prior. It was so moving. It was so moving. If you recall, he was returned with his tzitzis and his dog tag and his boots, and the tzitzis were right next to the matzeva. And at the bottom, the matzeva quotes this nevuah on the stone. And that's the comfort to Rachel Imenu, that we will not be in the land of our enemy forever. It's not our land. Haran maybe was very nice. Moshe Feinstein brings down in a Sefer Kol Ram that Haran was much better than Eretz Canaan. Haran was tsanua. They were careful about arayos. Moshe says it's a Pashas Lechacha, Kol Ram, Os Beis. If you're interested, it's very lengthy and looking it up. And he says that in Haran they were tsanua, they were careful about arayos. It was much better in Haran than Eretz Canaan at the time that Avram went, and yet God told him, that's not your land. This is Eretz Oyev. And that's the nechama to Rachel Imeidu. Vayesh tikva. There is hope. Va'acharitech for the end, says God. V'shavu banim legvulam. Because ultimately, B'nai Yisrael will return to their own borders. What does Rashi say on the Navi? Rachel mevaka al baneha. Rashi to the Navi quotes a Medrash. Medrash Agada. Amar shahalchu avo v'imaho lefayes. As a Kodesh Baruch Hu, al shehimid Menashe d'mut behecho. So Hashem is very angry because the wicked king Menashe put up an avodah zara into the sanctuary. So the Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, and Sarah, Rivka, and Leah come and they try to appease a Kodesh Baruch Hu. V'lo nitpayes, but Hashem says, no, I'm not listening. I'm not accepting your words of appeasement or comfort. Nichnisa Rachel. In comes Rachel. Amar lefan of Ribono Sha'olam. Rachel comes in. And Rachel says, listen up, God. Rachamei mi mirubim. Who has more mercy? Rachamecho or Rachamai? Who's a greater Rachman? Me or you, God? V'vadai havei omer Rachamecho mirubim. Certainly, Hashem, you have more mercy than me. You are the infinite kol tov, kol yachol, ein sof, the tov, the meitiv. I'm a human being. You certainly have more mercy than me. V'halo ani hichnasti tzareti betoch biti. But I took my rival into my house. Shakol avoda sha'avad Yaakov, because all of Yaakov's work for my father, he only worked lo avad ala bishvili. He only worked for me. K'shabati likanes l'chopa, and I finally came to the wedding. Hichnisu et achoti. My gosh, who went instead of me? Yaakov worked 7 years for me. Vayehov et Rachel Milaya. He loves her so much. It was just like a few days, like 7 years, because he can't wait to marry her. And then I come to the chuppah, and who goes instead of me? My rival. Not enough that I was quiet. Wasn't just that I was quiet, I didn't say anything. Tola Eretz Abolima. I held my mouth. I was an active participant in bringing my rival into my home. I gave her the secret signs, the abracadabra, so she could be married. Af ata? What about you? Im hichnisu banecha tzaratecha beveitecha, shetokohem. If your children bring, don't be such a machbir on Bnei Yisrael. Your rival's in your house, my rival was also in my house. Your mercy is greater than my mercy, so you should be quiet. Amrla, yafeh. Yasher kochech, good job, says Hashem. Lamadit sanegoria, you have given a good defense. Yesh sechar lepulatech, there is a reward for your work, v'litzit katech, and for your righteousness, shemasart simanech lachotech. Because you gave your signs to your sister, there is a reward, and that is, what's the reward? Ultimately, Hashem will not destroy Klal Yisrael. He will look away, so to speak, and he will bring us back, may Eretz Oyev, to once again inhabit Eretz Yisrael. Our Thursday morning series is called Insights and Lessons from Torah HaRav. I am now going to quote, does anyone even know that? If you look at the flyers that Robinson Schechter worked so hard to prepare, and Rabbi Schechter puts these series together, this series is called Insights and Lessons from Torah HaRav, FYI. Why? Because Michal Horowitz loves the teachings. Oh, I love all Torah teachings. Of Salvatrix, etc. And there's always something to say about every topic in the name of the Rav. In his called Odido Fake, which was given in 1956, say it was established in 48, 56. If you have not learned through this essay, you really have to put it at the top of your list. In English, it's called Fate and Destiny. It's not so long. And if you have not learned through it, you really should. Like you mamish really should. Okay? Kaldo di dofeik is an expression from Shir HaShirim, Pischuli, Achayosi, Rayasi, Tomasi. Okay. So he says that there are different knocks God is knocking on our door. Knock number one is in the political arena. Knock two is the idea from the battlefield. God's knock is the field. You could read that. I'm going to the sixth knock. What is the God's knock on our door with the establishment of the state of Israel? The sixth knock, because he goes through the other five, which we must not ignore, was heard when the gates of the land were open. A Jew who flees, this was in 1956, the state was very, very young. A Jew who flees from a hostile country now knows he can find a secure refuge in the land of his ancestors. L'zarecha etein et ha'aretz hazot. That's the first thing God said to Avram Avinu in the land. A Jew who flees a hostile country knows he can find secure refuge in the land of his forefathers. This is a new phenomenon in our history. Again, it's 2021, so maybe we're a little too used to having a state of Israel. But it wasn't always like that. Rachel cried and cried and cried and cried and cried and cried some more. Until now, whenever Jewish communities were expelled from their lands, they had to wander in the wilderness of the nations. Veshavu me'eretz oyev. And they were not able to find shelter in another land because the gates were barred from exiles and wanderers. Many Jewish communities were decimated. This is not an understatement. It's not an overstatement. Now the situation has changed. If a particular people expels the Jewish minority from its midst, the exiles can direct their steps unto Zion, and she, like a compassionate mother, will gather in her children. We have all been witness to the Oriental Jewry settling in the land. I think that he means the Jews from the Eidut HaMizrach. In Israel over the past few years, who knows what might have befallen our brethren in the lands in which they had settled, had not the land of Israel brought them by boats and planes. Had the state of Israel arisen before Hitler's Holocaust, hundreds of thousands of Jews might have been saved from the gas chambers and the crematoria. The miracle of the stay came a little bit late, and as a result of this delay, thousands and tens of thousands, millions of Jews were murdered. However, now that the era of Hester Panim, divine concealment, is over, Jews who have been uprooted from their homes can find lodging again in the Holy Land. Let us not view this matter lightly. It is the voice of my beloved that knocks. The venom of I'm not trying to make a joke, especially about this. I can't say the word. The venom of Hitlerian anti-Semitism, which made Jews like the fish of the sea to be preyed upon by all, still infects many of our generation. This was in 56. Guess what? It infects many of our generation today as well. They viewed the horrific spectacle of the gassings of millions with indifference as an ordinary event, not requiring a moment's thought. The antidote to this deadly venom is the readiness of the state of Israel to defend the lives of its children, its builders. It is the voice called Dodi Dofek. It is the voice to my beloved that knocks. I think that it's so incredibly important for us as we open up the book of Bereishis and begin this journey once again through Chamisha Chumshei Torah to note that there's a theme. And that theme is we have one land, one home, one place. And God has one land, one home, Kaviyachal, and one place. And so the first Rashi to Bereishis, he gid la'amo. You need to know to be proud of Eretz Yisrael. You're right. Of course, the ambassador is not going to stand up at the UN. They're going to say, oh, says Rabbi Yaff, why did you tell us this Rashi before? All our problems are over. But that's the foundation of Rashi's whole commentary to all of the Chamisha Chumshei Torah. That's why God, he says, Amar Rabbi Yitzchak, did not start with the first mitzvah to tell you about Eretz Yisrael. How did Noach know there would be life again, rejuvenation, the world was coming back to itself? Because there was viable life on Har HaZesim. That's the greatest sign of rejuvenation. The world looked dead. Our people sometimes look, sometimes physically, Rachman al Tzlan, dead, and sometimes we look spiritually dead. But if we remember that in Eretz Yisrael, we can always bring that back with us. There is life, then we can have hope. The first thing God told Abraham in the land of Canaan, the first thing, this is the land I will give to your children. Rachel Imenu's Yortzeit is on Yor Aleph Cheshvan, Sunday. We looked at the Pesukim where she dies. We looked at the famous Nevuah from Yirmiyahu, and we looked at Rashi. And in her merit, God spared his people. And the greatest nechama to her is the Tikva la'acharitek v'shavu me'eretz oyev v'shavu banim legvulam. And Rav Soloveitchik says, we cannot be numb, we cannot be immune, we cannot be indifferent to the gift that we have today. Hopefully soon the borders will open and we can all be there once again. But throughout the millennia, this was not a gift that my four grandparents had. My four grandparents, three were married. They each had children, five daughters between my three grandparents, millions of Jews. They only prayed for Yerushalayim, Yircha, Barachamim, Tashu, but never in their life did they think they would actually be able to stand in Yerushalayim, Yircha, and I know it's not the full Geula. I know it's not. So you don't have to come up to me after Shir and tell me we're in Gaulus and Eretz Yisrael also. I'm aware. We're obviously waiting for the full Geula. But we also cannot deny the gift that we have today, that through 2,000 years of wandering, we did not have. And for this, millions were gazed, Chalminsi massacres, which is Gzeres Tach V'Tah, 48, 16, 48, 49, Inquisition, the Crusades. Today we have a gift called Odido Fake, and we have to open the door when God knocks, the Zarecha Eitein et Ha'aretz Hazo. I'm going to finish. I couldn't believe this. I've quoted this insight before, I don't know if recently, but it has new meaning based on today's Shir, for me at least. I'm going back to the handout. Please look at the last source on your handout. It's a pasuk from Yeshayahu. Okay. Could you see on my screen? Paula, could you see on my screen? Yeah, it's a pasuk from Yeshayahu. And I think this is going to bring the Shir really full circle. And when I was preparing this Shir, I couldn't believe this. The pasuk says in Yeshayahu, which you could see on your handout or on my screen, Mi eila ka'av tu ufena. Who are these that fly along like clouds? V'chayonim el arubosehim, like doves to their nests. It's a pasuk from Yeshayahu. Who are these that fly like clouds? And then who are these that fly like doves to their nests? And it's particularly relevant, I think, in light of today's Shir, to consider that the Navi uses the bird of a Yonah. And I'm going to tell you how Rav Yisrael Meir Lau Shlita expounded upon this pasuk in the name of Rav Avim Yitzchak HaKohen Kuk. Standing in Auschwitz, a participant of March of the Living, 2016, on the very ground where millions of Kedoshim were murdered, and of course Rav Yisrael Meir Lau himself is one of the most famous child survivors of the camps, Rav Yisrael Meir Lau quoted this verse, Mi eila ka'av tu ufena, who are these that fly like clouds? V'chayonim el arubosehem. He expounded this verse according to the teachings of Rav Avraham Yitzchak HaKohen Kuk. So he was the first chief rabbi of Palestine under the British Commandate. He did not live to see the official establishment of the State of Israel. Said Rav Yisrael Meir Lau, the prophet Isaiah had a vision of the... By the way, if you want to actually see his speech, you could Google it. Like, I paused the screen after every statement of his, and I wrote down, so I'm directly quoting him. You could probably Google Rabbi Yisrael Meir Lau, March of the Living speech 2016, if you want to see him giving the speech. The prophet Isaiah, I wasn't there, that's where this is from. The prophet Isaiah had a vision of the ingathering of the exiles. He gives a comparison to two items, clouds and doves. Two examples of the same idea of the ingathering of the exiles. This Nevuah is talking about the kibbutz Golios. And when the Navi describes the kibbutz Golios, there are those that will return like clouds, and there are those that will return like doves to their nest. Jews come to Eretz Yisrael, said Rav Lau, the promised land, which became new in our hands. They are compared to a dove and a cloud. Excuse me. Rav Kook explained the difference between the dove and the cloud. A cloud has no emotion, no wisdom, no heart, no brain, no incentive, no instinct. It will not move unless the wind pushes it. On the contrary, the dove, he doesn't wait for the wind to push him. Her eggs, her children, she flies to them. I see, said the prophet Isaiah, according to Rav Kook, two types of immigrants to the land of Israel. Those who come here like the cloud, pushed by the winds of anti-Semitism, the Inquisition, the Holocaust. And then those immigrants who come here like the dove, homesick, with the understanding that this is my home. The dove does not wait for a strong wind to push her. The reason I found this so compelling, I've taught this before, but there's a new chiddush here. And that chiddush is specifically, the prophet Isaiah speaks about a dove flying back to her land as a metaphor for Am Yisrael flying back to her land. And the reason that's so significant is because the dove that signified rejuvenation of life, Trias HaMesim of the world, if you will, was a dove who brought back an Ale Zaya from Eretz Yisrael. And here the Navi speaks of a dove flying to Eretz Yisrael. And we already had that in Chumash. In Sefer Bereishis, Parshas Noach, we have a dove who takes a journey willingly to Eretz Yisrael. Dear friends, said Rabbi Lau, I came to Israel amongst the first new Olim, straight after World War II, July of 1945. I came like a cloud. I was pushed by the storm winds of the Holocaust. I tell you the truth, said Rabbi Lau, with my hand on my arm. Maybe without the Holocaust, I would be a rabbi in a shtetl in Poland. I spoke a beautiful Polish, nothing but Polish. My father was a rabbi. We were, before my father, a dynasty of rabbis. But the storm winds destroyed my home, murdered my parents, and pushed me like a cloud to my new old homeland of Eretz Yisrael. You have the privilege to ride back home like doves flying to her nest. I'm really mamish telling you that this has such new meaning to me after learning what Medrash Bereishis Rabbah says about specifically the raven. The orave did not find anything. It was the Yonah who matzah manoach lekafraga when she flew to Eretz Yisrael. That is where a person finds rest. That's where a person finds life. That's where a person finds rejuvenation. That's where a person finds that the trees are growing, which signifies the Trias HaMesim and the Kibbutz Galios. You have the privilege to arrive back home like doves flying to a nest. Know that this is our place. We have no other place. We have no other country, no other state, no other homeland, no other feeling of home, but Habayit Shalanu Habayta. And then he quoted from Tehillim, Yasar Yisrani, again, you could look it up and see him giving the speech. Yasar Yisrani Ka, V'lamavet Lo Nitanani, God afflicted me, but he has not given me over to death. Ki chilatza nafshi mimavet, you have rescued my soul from death. Et eini mindima, like Rachel, you rescued my eyes from crying. Et ragli midachi, et halech ofnei Hashem ba'artzo tachayim. This is my desire, this is my wish, this is my promise. Et halech ofnei Hashem ba'artzo tachayim, ba'eretz medinat Yisrael. What else do I need to say? I'm not giving you mussar, because I still live here. But it has to be our goal. It has to be somewhere on the roadmap. I have to know that the only place you find Menoch Lekaf Ragla is not here. Not Haran. Not Har Ararat. When you bring back an olive, stones from Midbar Yehuda, when you understand that one day you need to be there, L'zarecha Eitein Et Ha'aretz Hazot. When you know the first Rashi and Chumash, when you know what the Medrash says, the whole signification of rejuvenation of the world came from Har HaZeitim. When you know the first thing God said to Avram in the land of Canaan. And when you know the Nechama to Rachel Imenu, and perhaps we will remember where we really belong. That's what Hashem, we should be so zocha to the ultimate Geula, and the courage to be where we need to be and where we're supposed to be. The shiur was dedicated to Zeichu Nishmaso Nechemia Ben Yisrael Pesach Alav Hashem, whose yahrzeit is today, 8 Cheshvan, and we thank Rosalind Bramson very much for her generous sponsorship to the Young Israel Movement based Medrash program. B'soros tovos to everybody. Thank you so much, and a good Shabbos. Kol tov.
7.